So I know most of you have not been kept up nights wondering about Epiphany. A large number of people have never heard of Epiphany, and although I had heard of it, it never really dawned on me that anyone might actually celebrate it. Epiphany starts today. It always starts on January 6th, which is the 12th day of Christmas. The day you are supposed to get 12 drummers drumming. And the day we commonly remember the arrival of the wise men in Bethlehem. But you see, in Germany and a number of other countries, it's a big event. For us, it just kind of seems to come and go. And our church has just kind of shuffled it to the rear. So in Germany, the children dress up as kings. And they walk the streets. And they go from door to door. Kind of a lot like we do at Halloween. And only instead of collecting candy for themselves, they collect for the poor. Remembering that the wise men brought gifts to the poor Christ child. Well, the more you look into church history, the more you realize that we are missing a lot of things. Epiphany in the early church was one of the greatest feast days, second only to Easter. And the third great feast was Pentecost, another day that has drifted into religious backwaters. And even Easter is greatly watered down today. Easter used to be celebrated with all-night vigils the night before. And then the celebration continued on for what was called the Great 50 Days, ending with a huge blowout on Pentecost. So you see, Epiphany and Easter and Pentecost were the focus of the early church. Nobody even thought about celebrating Christmas. This is going to surprise you. Nobody thought about celebrating Christmas until the 4th century. Anybody know that? That was new to me. I never realized that. So what's the deal? How come nothing epiphs on Epiphany anymore? Why was the Epiphany so important, and why is it so unimportant today? For those few who might have heard of Epiphany, chances are that you will know it as the day the wise men came. And that's right, at least partially. The word Epiphany means manifestation or revelation. So the wise men are celebrated on Epiphany because they represented the revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles. It used to be that Epiphany celebrated more than the wise men. In the day when Epiphany was a great church feast, it also celebrated the revelation of Jesus in his first miracle of changing water into wine at Cana. And the manifestation of Jesus as the Son of God at his baptism. Those three things. The wise men, Cana, and the baptism were all lumped together to symbolize the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, and such revelation was cause for great celebration. That a baby was born in a manger was relatively unimportant compared with the events that proved to the world who that baby was. The authority of Jesus was validated by the signs he performed, like changing water into wine, by the voice of God in descending dove at his baptism, and through signs in the heavens that could be interpreted by the Gentiles. Those signs were God's way of saying, "Hey, listen, everybody. This baby that was born, he is the guy. He is the real thing." And Epiphany was the church's way of saying, We can never be the same again. So why doesn't anything epiph on epiphany anymore? By the way, epiph isn't a real word. It is now, though. There may be several answers. But I think one of them is that for the most part, we no longer expect it. I'm going to give you a minute with that. I want to let that sink in. We no longer expect it. We no more expect God to be revealed in our midst than we no more expect God to be revealed in our midst than we expect stores to start giving away merchandise. And because we don't expect it, we get what we expect. Sure. The early church was a church full of excitement and expectation. They anticipated the return of Jesus at any time. And the persecutions which they endured, which we don't have today, forced them to be aware of their faith and sometimes to die for their faith at all times. You ever think of their persecution in them terms? It keeps them in a state of expectation. Many of us today have lost that sense of excitement and expectation. In the early church, the point of Epiphany was not to remember history, but to be reminded that God appears miraculously to us in places and in ways that we don't expect. If we keep remembering that God seems to thrive on unexpected appearances, all through the Bible we're told that. We read this all over. All of a sudden he just shows up somewhere when nobody expects it. And if we keep expecting to see God everywhere we turned, we are not too likely to miss his return when it happens again. The wedding of Cana was crowded. This is an example. But only a few were aware that Jesus had worked a miracle in their midst. Most weren't paying any attention. They were at one of Martha's parties. They weren't watching. And they missed an event. Listen to this. They were so involved in themselves, in what was going on around them, that they missed where Jesus even turned water into wine. And they missed this event that people have talked about for 2,000 years. Bethlehem was so full of people that Mary and Joseph could not even find a room to spend that night. But there is no indication, listen to this now, nowhere did we read in the Bible that there was more than a handful paid any notice to the new life that changed all of history. Everybody was so busy, so much hustle bustle, that what happened in that manger, the fact that it even was in a manger, were too busy to notice, and in part because they weren't expecting the birth of Jesus to happen then in a manger. So if we want anything to epiph in our lives, we had better begin by expecting it and watching for it. If you are expecting company in your home, you're not going to miss their arrival unless they purposely sneak up on you. You're busy making preparations, but you fully expect to see them. And you keep your eye out the window. You keep your ear tuned to the doorbell because you're expecting their arrival even though you're really busy. Yeah, how many of us expect God in that way? Do we prepare for God to come? For that matter, Now listen to this. Do we expect God to come? And has any of us even issued an invitation? Or are we just taking it for granted? How many times do you prepare for your day by asking God to be revealed in your coworkers? Or in the traffic on the way to work? Or in your housework? Or in your children? Or in the clients that you deal with? How many times do you prepare for church by asking God to speak to you in the music, or in the sermon, or in others in the congregation? How many of us honestly, truly expect a real life-changing encounter with God when we enter these doors? I can tell you that those few who do expect such things find them. Thank you. But if you don't expect them, listen to this. If you don't expect them, it just baffles me why you would even come. If you are not expecting company, they might well show up when you are out or asleep or too busy in the back to hear the knocking on the door. If we don't expect God to appear or to speak or touch our hearts, if we're not looking for God at every turn and listening for God in every voice, chances are we will be as clueless as the guest at the wedding or the people in Bethlehem when God finally appeared. You see, if we're looking, the signs of God's presence are all around us, as much as outside the church as inside. God is there in the trees, and the oceans, and the skies, and the deer, and the geese, and yes, in the woodchucks and in the skunks. God is in the delivery room and the funeral home. God is in the face of the homeless man sleeping on the grate and in the face of the child who put a dollar in his hat. God may just be sitting beside you in the pew right now or might call on the phone this afternoon. You need to expect it. We all need God in different ways and at different times and in different places in our lives. You see, the message of Epiphany is that the revelation of God is talking more about than a one-shot deal. It's not that Jesus came once and that was that. No, there was Easter, that bright and glorious morning when God blew the lid off of everybody's ideas about what God could and couldn't do. Come Easter morning, all the bets are off. The tomb was empty and God was on the loose. He appeared and disappeared out of rooms. He was walking with disciples who had no clue who he was. You see, the message of Epiphany and Easter is that God is not dead, that he is not dried out and stuffed into your Bible somewhere in the Psalms. God is alive and kicking, and Epiphany here, right now, and everywhere in the hopes that somebody will tune in to the right frequency. The God who was made manifest in Jesus of Nazareth lives and was made manifest somewhere, somehow in your home this very morning. The God that was calling to you in our last hymn is the God that will be revealed right after the service in the fellowship hall or out in the parking lot. You see, the message of Epiphany is to keep watch, for you don't know the day or the hour when God will appear. You see, I can't force you to encounter God. You have to have a willing spirit. And you have to be looking with a loving spirit in the sacraments, beside you in the pew, in the scriptures, in the readings, in the offerings. Let me ask you to do something. For those of you that are sitting real close, just scoot aside a little bit. Come on. Just a little bit. Make a little room. Okay? You know what you just did? You just made room for God to sit next to you. Huh? Now, for those of you that were sitting there holding hands with each other, wonderful. But you have two hands. Reach it out. God will grab it. Come on, reach it out. Yeah. You see, this is what Epiphany is all about. To make room for Jesus. To expect his return. For the songs we sing and the prayers we pray to the sermons that are preached, the ultimate purpose of all of it is to provide a place where it is easier for people to experience the epiphany of God, a time that is structured in such a way as to encourage people to open their eyes and see the God who is here in our midst. I told this story once before, but I'm going to say it again. Years and years ago, when our kids were about like this, remember the singing Christmas tree at First Assembly of God Church? It was a big deal. I mean, you almost had to have tickets to get in. So we went one day, one evening. And the preacher there stood up and he started out by saying, "Praise God. Jesus is here. Can you feel him? He's in our presence. He's sitting next to you. He's here, he's here." And while this preacher is saying this, our little son Jeff, he's... And I kind of pitched him a little bit, said, "Hey, you don't pay attention." He says, "Where is he, Dad? I don't see him. He's here, I don't see him." That's what we're talking about. Jesus is here this morning. He is in our presence. You just made room for him. You held your hand out for him. You feel his presence. And as we leave here this morning, he will leave with you. His presence is always there. You need to expect it and look for it. In all that we say, in all that we do, and everywhere that we go. This is what Epiphany is all about. So as we wind our way from Epiphany through the Lenten season to Easter, let God epiph in your life. Make space in your life to have a real encounter with God. It might be here. It might be anywhere. But expect that it will happen. Get up in the morning wondering where it will come. And go to sleep listening for God's voice. Read your Bible, expecting to hear God and come this morning to the table to commune with our Christ and open to receive. And if you do this, God will epiph. I promise. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.